not just about music. It's the power of music brought us all together. But, you know, now more than ever, like, just these communities that we're a big part of, you know, they're so fucking important and relevant. And it's not just, you know, not to sound cliche, but like, it's not a fashion statement.
Right.
You know? I mean, we're living this stuff. And, you know, I think some of the strongest people are people like us, who have survived shit that, you know, quote unquote, normal people never could have. So, you know, the COVID stuff, yeah, it's scary and it's real and we got to be, you know, we got to take it seriously, but I'm not letting it dictate my life. You know, we're going to the grocery store. You know, we're not going to the fucking beach. You know, we're not going to Six Flags. We're not going to Cedar Point or any of those places.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I think it's important to stay busy. There's so much fucking kick-ass music coming out right now because dudes have just had time to sit and really, you know, fester in their own creativity. And there's a lot more positive, I think, coming out of this whole thing than negative, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I definitely see that in the music community big time, you know, to where it's like a lot of bands have been, you know, I mean, they take it as a blessing and a curse that they're having a lot of releases, you know, during this time. And I'm like, man, you know, now's the time to kind of take advantage of the fact that people are home and they have more time on their hands and they can listen to more music and stuff, you know. And then and most musicians have been, like you were saying, you know, to where it's like they're producing a lot of stuff now, you know, and doing everything that they can. And a lot of them have, you know, in-home studios and stuff to, at a minimum, you know, demo and track some stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been busy here at the shop, which has been a blessing. You know, I've been working straight through the COVID thing, which is great. My wife's fortunate enough to work from home. So, you know, we haven't had the financial burden that a lot of other people have been going through. But, you know, I haven't played music fucking like probably 15 years. You know, I got jaded by the whole industry and we had a record contract deal that with Roadrunner that just was fucking sour. And I was just really pissed off about the whole thing. And then so just about 5 years ago, I started buying gear again and started to play for my own, just for my own pleasure, you know, just get back into it. You know, and just in this past month, we started a project that's getting real serious real quick. And it's with a bunch of dudes that, you know, without this COVID situation and people having, you know, idle time, probably never would have came to fruition. And it's, you know, it's a bunch of seasoned veterans from the Detroit scene. And, you know, we're a bunch of old dudes, but we still got chops. And, you know, so that's exciting too. So, again, man, I'm just trying to focus on the positive. Scout, hang on. Go get it. you know, just that PMA thing, you know, that John Joseph Cro-Mags talks about all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's you can wake up and be pissed off and go through your day that way, and that's on you. You know, I don't like feeling pissed off. So I get up, I come out here to the shop, get covered in sawdust and dog slobber, and it's not a bad way to spend a day.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, well, it's really cool, man, that you're able to start up another, you know, another musical project as well during all this time. It's like I've been playing more and riffing more and trying to lay down tracks and stuff, you know, while in quarantine and having some downtime as well. And I've noticed too, to where it's like, man, your priorities really, really change, or I guess I shouldn't say change as much, but it's like everything kind of gets in perspective more, to where it's like, you know what, you know, it's like reach out and see what's up with this guy and see what's going on with this and stuff. And to where it's like, you kind of, I don't know, I kind of get to this mentality of just like, if you're not swinging, you're not going to hit any balls. So you may as well just keep swinging. So it's like, I guess like some of the insecurities and fear have kind of melted away a little more, you know, with like reaching out to people and talking to others about stuff and trying to start new projects, whether they fail or not. It's like, man, at least I'm doing something and at least I'm being proactive, you know, during this time. And I hope that actually continues after the pandemic as well.
Well, it's astounding to me, again, the ignorance and arrogance of people. But going back to, again, you know, like the creative set, you know, there has been, the music stuff has been overwhelming. I can't keep up. You know what I mean? I just found out Archangel had a new release. I mean, not new, but new to me.
Yeah.
That just showed up in the mail a couple of days ago, and I cannot stop listening to it. You know, they were one of my favorite bands in the 90s, and I was like, wait, Archangel is still a thing? You know, and it's amazing. But there's so much, you know, the guys from Harvest, they have a new thing called Sunset, which is fucking incredible. The Dead Guy guys have a new group called Bitter Branches, and that shit's amazing. And it's just like, this stuff I never would have had time to just troll the internet, you know, and go down these rabbit holes on websites and Facebook groups and YouTube. And, you know, this wasn't like word of mouth shit. This is just stuff I stumbled upon. And
yeah,
it's just, it hasn't reignited my passion for music and all things music, but it's just adding fuel to the fire in the best way ever. You know, it's just, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah. One, you've been going gangbusters on Poltergeist. Like you have a whole line out now.
Yeah. It's been a lot of work. When I got into this thing, it wasn't completely blind. You know, we are embarrassingly fortunate in Southeast Detroit, which is kind of where we're at. We're only about 20 minutes from downtown. But like Omega Ampworks, they're fucking 10 minutes that way up the road from me. You know what I mean? Joe Naylor, who spawned Robert Guitars, Joe lives in Troy, which is 4 miles from where I'm sitting, you know?
Yeah.
Bruce Agnator lives in Berkeley, Michigan, where I used to live 10 years ago, and that's 30 minutes, you know, from here. And it's just like, we're, you know, Metropolis, you know, he's up in Merton. That's another 30 minutes north, you know? So, I mean, we're just, there's no lack of musical engineering fucking wizardry, you know, in this part of the state. And so I just try to eat as many Coney dogs and drink as much fucking burners as I can to try to get some of that juju going with Poltergeist.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, it wasn't a blind effort, but what I didn't realize was how much prototyping there was going to be before I could produce something, because I'm a guy who, like, I want what I want and I want it right now kind of a deal. I don't have any patience, so I just wanted to build fucking monster cabs. And then I started to break it down and go, well, what's going to set my shit apart from the next guy? There's so many good companies out there now. The market's kind of oversaturated. It's very hard to compete. And so I decided very early on that I wasn't going to compete. I was just going to build the shit that I wanted to listen to or that I wanted to play through. If people like it and buy them up, that's cool. You know,
yeah.
Puts a little extra money in my pocket. And it's not about the money at all. Scout. you know, so it quickly became apparent that, you know, the competition thing and whatever, trying to make a name for the brand, or, you know, that's all secondary. You know, I just want to make shit that I would want to play through, and that's how I started. And so, you know, start with simple 212, and I was like, well, you know, I played through the Mesas, I played through the Oranges, I played through the fucking Peavies, and what do I like about each and every one of them? You know, because none of them suck, but they're all voiced differently, and that's 90% speakers. There's a reason why cabs are all relatively the same size, because some fucking tone guru, you know, eons ago figured out that this is kind of the right spec for a 412 or a 212. I mean, there's a reason we don't have octagon or parallelogram shaped fucking cabs, right?
Right.
So, you know, I started kind of basing my cab sizes off of Marshall, which they're kind of the baseline, I think, for the industry as far as cab specs go. But then I started looking at, like, the Emperor dudes. You know, I'm like, fuck, man, they make big cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even their standard cabinets are larger typically than, you know, these fucking big box companies. And they just sound incredible. And you know, so I was like, well, I'm going to make my standard size, you know, quote unquote Marshall 212 and see how that sounds. I'll load it with some badass speakers, and guess what? Thing worked and it sounded great. Okay, cool. Well, maybe I make this 2 inches deeper and an inch taller, and maybe I port it. So I build one of those, throw the same speakers in it, because that's my control factor, and holy shit, it's got a totally different tone. It does this for the lows, this for the mids, this for the highs. Do I like it better? Do I not like it better? So with each different cab, I don't know how many fucking incarnations each one has gone through until I got to the one where I'm like, this is the baseline cab for my 212. You know what I mean? So, but I had no idea going into it that I was going to have to do that much building.
A bunch of R&D.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense now.
Yeah.
I was a dumbass to think, you know, to not think ahead that that would be the process. But I'm glad that I figured it out pretty quick and didn't just say, oh, I built a 212. This is what I'm going to do from now on. No, I wanted to fine-tune shit for what my ears like to hear. And fortunately, it's what a lot of other people like to hear too. So, you know, we've been successful so far. Fingers crossed, knock on wood.
So for people that are listening to this and are wanting to get into a new cab, and can you talk a little bit about you know, some of the differences and nuances between bass cabinets and guitar cabinets without going in too much depth and, like, you know, giving away trade secrets or anything like that, but just for people that are just like, you know, they have a guitar or they have a bass and they want to level up, they want to start chasing tone, you know, and but they don't know exactly what where to go next, you know?
So, in my opinion, and you know, I think there's some levity behind that. Speaker selection is 95% of the battle, 100%. And we kind of talked a while ago about that, you and I.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of go backwards with tone. Guitars are nothing more than pedals. The cabinet has no idea what's coming through it.
Right.
You know, it just knows what it is. So, you know, the other guitar player in my band, Brad from the Nain Rouge, you know, he was saying, you know, we're just pedals. If you think about it, you know, everything has a source. We're the source. Goes through the guitar, goes through your pedal board, goes through your amp, goes out of your, you know. So I build tone backwards. I start with speakers first and foremost. I'm super fortunate to have partnered a few months ago with Ted Weber down in Indiana. So that's all we run now is Ted Weber speakers, because there's no reason to not. Eminent stuff is fine. You know, not to get off subject, but just for a second, it's fucking amazing to see this guitar culture resurging like we had in the 60s and 70s. You know, everybody owned an acoustic, whether they could play it or not back in the 60s or 70s. You know, the guys that found out that they could play, they got into the electric stuff, you know, and guys were building custom shit, you know, and you had stuff like Trainwreck, you know, amps were coming out, and these, you know, people were building their own stuff in their basements and shit, and it was super cool, and we're kind of back to that now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's not just great for the builders, but it's just cool, you know, and so the music is coming back. We're getting away from the fucking bubblegum pop shit, and, you know, just we're getting back to music, you know, which is great. As far as the tone stuff, bass and guitar are just, they're pretty similar. You know, you have, like, I guess I don't know what to say about it really, but, you know, there's, engineers will talk about the bell all the time, you know, the sound wave of the shape of the bell. So I guess for bass, for me, it's like the bell is just larger, right? So you got these, like, deeper low end frequencies, things like that. So that's stuff that I think about with how do I want that sound coming out of those bass speakers, you know. But again, it starts with those speakers. So I'm thinking about resonance. I'm thinking about where does that speaker want to live, in a deep box, a shallower box, a ported box? What's gonna push that tone out, you know, in the most efficient and crushing way possible?
Yeah.
And that's where all that R&D comes into play, you know. So, and it's just trial and error, you know. I tried one guitar cab that was not a completely different shape, but I kind of went to an extreme with one, and it sounded like garbage. It sounded like someone playing guitar in a tennis ball can, and I went, well, I'm not going to do that again, you know. But if you don't know, you don't know, you know. Right. So that's why we do what we do. But yeah, just like sonically, I think about that bell shape and you know, what's going to complement those speakers the best, what kind of house they're going to live in. So yeah, I guess that's all I've got on that.
No, it's cool, and it makes sense, you know, and you know, the perspective that I was coming from was, you know, that we are in somewhat of a renaissance again, which is really cool. And we're also, I don't know, I think it's, I think there's been a little bit of a stigma in the past to where it's like, oh, well, I'm a musician, but full time I'm doing this over here, you know, and then I'm just gigging on the side kind of thing. And I think, to me, that perspective has changed a lot within the community and outside the community too, to where it's like, no, people are diversifying. People come from a music background, and then they're able to either provide a service, you know, like whether it be mixing and recording, or providing a product, which could be a pedal or, you know, some sort of backline piece of gear or cabinets or amplifier, you know. And so to me, that all adds a whole lot more validity to the product at the end of the day, to where then it's like, okay, these are musicians that have the knowledge and experience from the road and from gigging and from their garage, and passionately are doing something because they wanted something themselves. Everyone is on this, well, I shouldn't say everyone, but the serious people are on this tone journey that really doesn't stop ever, you know. And so the fact that you have the knowledge and experience and are putting in the R&D, and also, like you were saying, where it's like, man, it was huge in the 60s and 70s. You know, you had all of these like mom and pop shops popping up. I mean, Orange was a small company, you know, that was just getting started, and Trainer, and, you know, Mesa Boogie started similarly and stuff. And it's like, all of these big companies now started in their garage, and they started with devices that they were tinkering with because, again, they were tone chasing. And so I think that's really cool. And I think it's I think it's not only empowering to fellow musicians, it's also it provides what am I trying to say? It provides a level of backing to the product that I feel like adds more validity than it being just from a big box store.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you've ever torn open a big box cab, because they're cookie, you know, it's a cookie cutter operator, you know, there's a fucking assembly line, right? Because there has to be. It's nothing against, you know, those companies. But, you know, if you take the back panel off your Marshall, there's not much to it. You know, they're not using, you know, fucking super high grade woods and things like that, you know. And that's the other thing. Wood selection is huge to tone. You know, anybody can go out and buy a slab of MDF and fucking punch holes in it and put speakers on it, and yeah, you have a cabinet, but make one out of yellow birch, the same specs, whole different animal.
Yeah.
And not discounting the big box companies, you know, they're fucking great, but you know, guys that, like you were saying, have some background in it, have some, this, I think the coolest thing to me right now, besides the fact that people are picking up guitars again and drums and you know, playing fucking rock and roll, you know, and punk and sludge and doom, and just, you know, on some of these groups, like, guys get ripped on because they post clips and they're just playing like a Sabbath riff over and over again with, you know, a $20 Donner overdrive pedal or something like that, and got, whoa, fucking, you know, PV combo amp. Dude, the guy's fucking playing. shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, like, just fucking play. That's what it's all about. You know, I couldn't afford a fucking orange rig when I was 25 years old. You
right.
know? So I played what I could afford. And the thing I'm so stoked about is with social media, as much as I dislike it for a lot of reasons, in the 70s, what they couldn't do was, you know, reach out to Ozzy on Facebook and go, you know, hey, how do you do your octave jumps, you know, in this song, or reach out to fucking Geezer and chop it up about, you know, gear and shit like that. Anybody can go on Facebook, reach out to fucking Kurt at God City and go, why do you use that Emperor 612 all the time to record everybody? And it sounds fucking huge. Like, there's no bigger guitar tone than like what he got out of Nails, you know, or the shit that he did for High on Fire. I mean, it's like, but you can do that now. You can just, yeah. You don't have to. I remember back in the 80s and even early 90s writing letters to like fucking John Joseph and Henry Rollins and, you know, guys that were idols of mine, you know, still are, like when I was, you know, in my 13, 14, 15 years old, and you'd never get a letter back. You know, it would be out there. You'd forget about it after a few months of being sad. Oh, he doesn't fucking care. Blah, blah, you know, and now you can like in real time say, hey, JJ, you know, when's the new Blood Clot coming out? And the motherfucker will answer you in like 20 minutes. You know, I'm leaning on the top of a cabinet from Mike Hasty from Walls of Jericho, which is the current build. It's a 212 bone stripper. But, you know, Mike was saying, you know, because they're not touring, you know, nobody is. But he's like, yeah, as soon as, you know, he's like, you're going to hit that point where it's just going to, you're going to have more orders than you can, you know, handle at a time. And you're going to have to bring on people to help you out and stuff like that. He's like, give me a call, dude, because Mike lives 15 minutes away from me. And I'm like, you know, I don't think I'll let it get bigger than what it is now, because one, it won't be fun. I don't want it to be a business. You know what I mean? I literally, you know, want splinters from every build in these hands, you know. Would it be nice to get into manufacturing and have to go that route and, you know, to do this full time? I guess. But as soon as the fun leaves for me, I'm, you know, I'll close doors for good. You know, I just want to make cabs for dudes that are as stoked about it as I am, that like the tone that I've been in love with forever, that my ears have yearned for forever. You know, any kind of success that we've had or are continuing to have is a fucking blessing. You know, we're humble about it. We don't take any of it for granted. And, but it's personal. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Guys come to the shop, they test them out. You know, if you don't fucking like it, guess what? You don't have to buy it. There's no commitment. You know, do I have to eat it? Of course, I'll eat the cost and everything else, but then I'm stuck with a cool fucking cab. You know, it's not a fuck you. It's like, I don't want someone to leave with something they're not so stoked about they can't stop talking about it. And so far, that's the trajectory that we've been on, and that's success that we've felt so far. So no reason to stop.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, so real quick, let's talk about for a minute, you know, the tone that you look for, you know, like what spurred you to create your first cabinet, and what are, when you plug in or when a customer plugs into one of your cabinets, what are you looking for? And then in conjunction, like kind of what are they looking for?
Well, so going to Motor City Guitar and Marty back in the 80s, you know, I walked in there, had no clue. You know, I knew what Eddie Van Halen's guitar looked like. It was iconic. I knew the names because everybody played Marshalls in the 80s, and those were all the huge fucking stacks you saw on stages when you went to concerts. And
yeah.
When I saw Hetfield's Explorer, I was like, what the fuck is that? You know, and then if you don't know, you don't know. You know, you got to start somewhere. So, you know, as I got more into music and started playing it myself, you know, the tones that I gravitated, you know, or had to think about was, when did an album come on for the first time? And I stopped everything and went, what the fuck is that? Like Cro-Mags Age of Coral. first time I heard that opening intro, I was like, who is this? What is this? Because it was the perfect crossover of like metal and hardcore that nobody had ever heard of before. There was nothing like it.
Yeah.
So you either had fucking Slayer for the thrash tone, you had, you know, the Metallica for the metal tone, and you had, you know, like Agnostic Front for hardcore. Those were kind of like, you know, and then Matt Henderson from Madball, who's a tone god in his own right, you know, I think he was probably the first hardcore band in the early 90s when Madball came through. I think he didn't have a Les Paul. I think he had an SG. But that was the first time I heard Boogie Shit live. And it must have been a dual rec. And as soon as he fucking hit the clock, I was like, what just happened? Like, you know, I mean, it was, so it just, and then it just fucking snowballed from there. And, but I was at Motor City. My birthday is close to Christmas. So I had a bunch of birthday money, a bunch of Christmas money. And I think I was probably like 15. And I walked in there with a pile of loot, and, I had bought a PV Bandit from him and like some shitty fucking Squire guitar, you know, and a cable and no pedals or anything, but it had an overdrive channel on the combo amp. And I thought it was just massive. I was like, this is amazing. You know, and I had some money and I said, Marty, you know, I've got, this is my budget, you know, and I want to play like, I didn't even know they were called stacks or, you know, I didn't know any of the lingo. I was just like, you know, I want to play like those guys. And he's like, well, what's your favorite album? And, I, you know, at the time, I think I was really into like Sacred Reich and Metallica, like Master of Puppets, like the early shit. And, I'm a first generation punk hardcore guy. So I was, well, I love Negative Approach, but I also like Metallica and Sacred Reich's new album is amazing. And he's like, well, those are three completely different guitar tones. That's basically what he was asking me. So he's like, out of all this shit, what guitar tone do you want to sound like? Not what's your favorite band or favorite album right now. And I thought about it for a minute and I was like, hmm. And to be honest, I don't remember what I told him. And I remember I didn't leave that day with any gear. He sent me on my way to go think about it before I shopped irresponsibly with this pile of money I probably wouldn't have again for another year, which was super cool. At the time, I was kind of bummed out, but, you know, so jump forward to maybe like 10 years later when I kind of started to get to know what I was doing. Same thing, went back to Motor City Guitar, and I brought in, of all albums, Grunt Truck, Push. And I've never been a big grunge dude. The grunge bands that I like, if I had to pick, you know, two favorites or one would be Grunt Truck and Stone Temple Pilots. Pearl Jam, you can fucking have it. You know, Alice in Chains, yeah, I can put them in the top three, I guess. But you know, even like Nirvana, they've never tickled my balls. You know, I respect them for what they did, but guitar tone wise, I was like, that is a flawless fucking album to me, that Grunt Truck, their Push album. And I took that into Marty, and he was like, yep, yeah, we can figure this out. And, you know, I ended up leaving there with it was a bunch of fucking rack effects, actually. It wasn't even a head, but it did the trick. And then, but that's, I guess, where my tone journey really started. And I started thinking about sound versus what I saw, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I guess it was just a, again, if you don't know, you don't know. So it was a big learning process, you know, but I was open to all of it and still am. The day I stop learning is the day I'll fucking hang it all up. So, you know, when I hear something new or, you know, the pedal world is overwhelming right now. Everybody has a new overdrive coming out every day, it seems like, or whatever, you know, Earthquaker, they're just south of us, you know, so they're close. There's dudes locally that make pedals. I myself am not a huge pedal guy. The less bells and whistles, the less shit that can go wrong. And maybe that's from like my touring days. I just want to plug in and go and not have to figure out which patch cable popped out or which battery is low or, you know, all that kind of stuff. But tone wise, you know, I go for, you know, Pike, of course, he's probably my all-time favorite. Tim Salt, his tone is undeniably Tim, but it's also, you know, when he brings the heavy, you know, it's there. It's interesting to me that, like, a player like Tim Salt and Matt Pike almost play the same gear, but they dial it in so differently, they get two wildly different voices out of the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I can't listen to High on Fire 24/7. I know a lot of dudes would probably be pissed off about that, but I can't do it. I'm not always in that mood. You know what I mean? Sometimes I want to chill out and, you know, pop on some fucking, you know, Blast Tyrant, My Clutch or something like that, you know, which has the same aggression, you know, just less teeth, you know? So I guess tone is subjective to kind of like how you're feeling at the time. But that's another thing with the Cabs is we're not just going for straight up massive power. The clean channels have to be great too, you know, and that's again, going back to speaker selection. That's why Ted Weber is the best. I mean, his shit is so universal. You can pick one speaker and pop it into a cab. And his team down there too, you know, is amazing as far as, you know, how their ears go. I can have a conversation with any of those dudes, 10-minute conversation, and say, you know, well, let's give that speaker a shot. And 10 out of 10 times, they've never let me down as far as, oh, that's the tone you want. You described it. We're going to send you this custom voice speaker and just let us know if you don't like it, ship it back. I've never shipped anything back to Ted. So, man, I could talk about this shit all day, but I try to go for, you know, yeah, for what my ears go for. And that's, you know, kind of started, like I said, with Cro-Mags and all the way through their catalog. You know, I'm happy to have my little tent set up in the campground of fucking tone stuff that's happening right now. And, you know, I'm not going anywhere. You know, people can find me on Facebook and Instagram and, or poltergeistamp@gmail.com. You know, always down to have conversations, even if people aren't interested in buying, you know, let's talk.